Welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm joined in the studio with Dan Demite.
Hey, how are you doing, Patrick?
Yes, Dan and I are brothers through baptism in the Holy Spirit, and
yes,
we're
so
excited to be here today. We have on the show with us Father Nathan Cromley. He's a member of the community of St. John. He is a world changer. He is bringing the power, the fire, the love of God. And he's changing our country. He's changing the church. He's doing so many amazing things. And we can't wait for him to share his testimony, for him to share with what God is doing through him. And before we do anything else, we're going to start off in prayer. Dan, will you lead us in prayer?
I can. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Spirit, we just welcome you right now into our lives, into our hearts, our minds, our inmost being. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray that you would inflame us with the fire of your love. Allow us to just love the world more, desire to sanctify the world more. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray with it that you would bring within us just more passion for the delivery of the gospel to the nation. Allow us not to be silent anymore, Lord. Open our lips so we may profess the goodness of your holy name, the name of Jesus.
Father, I thank you so much for the gift of the priesthood. We thank you for raising up and ordaining men that are fully given over to you, God, mm-hmm. and in poverty, chastity, obedience, just like Jesus. And Lord, as they've conformed their lives to Christ, I pray that they will equip, train, and just inspire the lay faithful to be more conformed to the life of Jesus. And we pray this all in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen.
So, Dan.
What's up?
Father Nathan Cromley, I'm going to give you a little bio.
Okay,
I feel like a lot of people already know who he is because he's been on Life in the Rock multiple times on EWTN. He's been on like Relevant Radio and a bunch of radio shows. I think he's now at the big time because he's with us.
Oh, okay? Yeah, definitely.
So now he's
slowly
on Encounter
going
Radio.
Higher and higher.
It's just like another level of
he's
glory.
He's reached the summit.
But here's the good news. We're going to talk about this a little bit. I mean, the higher you get, the more of a servant you become.
Heck yeah.
It's just kind of a spiritual law here. Really quick, Father Nathan Cromley, he's the founder of Eagle Eye Ministries. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that sounds sweet.
I love eagles because, like, you know, St. John is depicted as the eagle who's just, like, flying overhead. And it's, I think there's probably something to that with the community or the congregation of St. John that he's a part of. He's Eagle Eye Ministries runs Ecclesia, these summer young adult programs. He has a book called Totus Tuus, which is promotes the St. Louis de Montfort consecration to Mary. He's led young adult backpacking trips all over the world, like Scotland, Norway, Ireland, Iceland, Hawaii, Alaska, all over the place. So this guy really gets around.
He sounds like a really boring guy.
I know.
This is going to be an exhausting hour.
Yeah. So if you're not willing to go from 0 to 60 in this show time with us, you can turn the station now.
All right. Got it.
Now that we have your permission, because you haven't, you're going to stay with us right now. So Dan, there's something about like all this stuff that Father's done and that he's doing right now. It really brings me back to a scripture passage. I'm going to read it right now. Okay. So this is Mark chapter 9. Okay. And they're going to Capernaum, and Jesus asked them this question, "What were you discussing on your way?" But they were silent, for on the way they discussed with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child, he put it in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to him, "Whoever receives one child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, like, I feel like one thing I want to kind of address in the church, kind of in our church culture that we're part of, is there's such a emphasis on humility. You know, we know from so many of the spiritual masters that you can't have holiness without humility. That holiness is humility, humility, and humility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
And so with that truth of humility, there's almost this sense of like, oh my gosh, I've got to be so humble that I can't aspire to do anything great. Because in our kind of traditional sense, humility means like being small. Like you just got to stay small and not, and if I start doing big things, I might not be humble.
Yeah.
Can you relate to that? Am I off here?
Yeah, no, definitely. You hear that. I think you hear that all the time. Like people are afraid to work for greatness because they don't want to somehow offend the Lord, right? And I've often said that we've defined humility wrong. Like you say, we often think it being humble means being small, but I like to define humility as knowing the truth of who you are, right? And the truth of who you are is that you're not God. So be in your place. You're not God. You're always bringing God. But the truth of who you are is also that you are a son of God, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, that you have the Spirit dwelling within you, and the Lord has sent us on a mission to baptize all nations, right? That you have been commissioned and appointed and anointed by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be an heir of the kingdom of God, right? God is our Father. And so if we know who we are, truly, we know our place in the kingdom. We know we're not the Father, like, but we know that we are his adopted son. And as his adopted son, we're pressing forward to bring his kingdom as much as possible.
And here's the thing that the disciples, the 12, they were discussing who is the greatest.
Yeah.
And I think like if we're, you know, 20th century Christians were to walk in there, we would rebuke them, be like, hey guys, you need to be humble here, you know, you 12. Like, who do you think you are? And Jesus, when he got that word and you know, brought that out there, and they admitted they're discussing who is the greatest, he didn't rebuke them. He didn't say you shouldn't desire greatness. Mm. He said, if you want to be great, you must become servant. You need to become like a child.
Whoa.
So what he did, he didn't actually quench this call for greatness. He actually he redirected it to service. Like, you know, if you want to be first, you have to be last. You're gonna have to be a servant. And so basically, the greater, I think, the greater we become in the kingdom, the more of a servant we become.
Amen.
And then ultimately, like, you have to walk as a child. And so, you know, we could talk about childlike faith for a long time, but the greater leadership you have, the more you're becoming truly a child of God.
Yeah, no.
God's your dad.
God's your dad. And when you really understand that, like when the reality of the fatherhood of God penetrates your heart, it redefines everything, right? It redefines everything in your own life, but then it redefines all of your dreams and all of your motivations. And so God doesn't want us not to dream big dreams. He wants us to dream big dreams with him, right? He wants our dreams to be his dreams for our life. And, you know, I think just as a father raising children, I want my children to dream big dreams for their lives, right? But I want them to be directed towards what's best for them, right? And that's what the Father's ultimately about. What we want, he wants big dreams for us, but directed towards his glory.
And here's another thing too. Like you're right, humility comes back to knowing who I am in God, and who I am is a son. Like,
yep.
And I think oftentimes too, like we get humility wrong because we think it's just doing what God wants you to do.
Hmm.
But I don't think God wants us to just be slaves that we kind of do our life and then wait for him to call us to do something. I think he is wanting us to actually care. He knows he's put his desires in our heart, and he's saying, you got a green light, go do it, right?
Yep.
And I think about in the Old Testament, like, you know, Abraham on the, you know, interceding, God's like, I'm going to go destroy Sodom. And he's like, oh, well, Lord, you know, God's already said what he wanted to do. And then Abraham gets in this position where he says, what if there's 50, 20, 10, 5 righteous people? Will you do it? And he like gets, he has God. God basically says, you know, I won't do it if that's the case. And then you have Moses on the top of the mountain, and, you know, they're worshiping the golden calf, and God's like, Moses, I'm going to destroy them all. We're going to start over. And what does Moses do? He actually gets to a point where he changes God's decision. Isn't that crazy? Like, that's not the paradigm I think we have. Like, you know, if God wants to draw, God was teaching us through Abraham, through Moses, that we have such an intimate place with him that we can partner with him and actually, like,
He listens to us. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, ask and you will receive, right?
Like, listeners, you have permission to release the kingdom of God, to partner with God and watch him back you up. And, like, I feel like Paul just went all over the place. St. Paul, he went from place to place to place. And I think God was just, like, with him. He didn't have to worry about, do you want me to go to Macedonia? Do you want me to go to, you know, to Athens? He just went for it, and he knew that God was with him. He didn't have fear. And I feel like if you're worried about getting it wrong, guys, just know that God loves you enough that if you're not supposed to do something, he's going to tell you. Like Paul wanted to go to Asia, Dan.
Yeah.
And then he had a dream. Don't go to Asia.
Okay.
So I think we need to have the faith that, like, we got to do what's on our heart for the sake of building the kingdom. And if it's not part of God's will, he's going to tell you.
Yep.
And so,
I think if there's not something on your heart, start asking the Lord to put more on your heart, right? Like, if you have little dreams, ask the Lord to give you big dreams, right? Like, allow the Lord to inspire you and allow the Spirit to fill you with promptings for your life so that you see a vision for your life that God has for you.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I think we need to stop questioning our holy desires. Because when we're converted, and I'm talking to people here that are already, like, walking with the Lord and you want to see the kingdom come, I'm talking to you guys, okay? So if that's you, just know if you have a heart for things, whether it's evangelization, formation, you know, ministering to the poor and stuff, like, where does those desires come from? That's the question. I mean, the word desire is like it's actually two words, D and sire. And actually it means D is of day. And sire is like Lord. Hmm. So it's of the sire, of the Lord.
Wow.
So our
awesome.
Desires, when they're from, they're of the Lord.
Yeah.
So you have, like, when you have a holy desire, you get to go for it.
Amen
and
to that.
It's good. So I feel like we're about to have a guy on that's done so much stuff in the kingdom, who's not stopping, who's like a St. Paul in America. I feel like we need to learn from him and what God's done, just to say, go for it. Okay. And we just want to, I pray that missions are going to be birthed out of just listening to this guy.
Hey, so, and listeners, don't listen to this show and listen to Father Cromley and say, wow, Father Cromley is so amazing. God's doing so many things to him. I want you to change the way we hear the gospel preached and change the way we hear testimonies. Actually, listen and say, wow, God, I want you to accomplish that in my life.
You know, you know what testimony means, Dan?
No, I mean,
I don't have the etymology here.
I don't know.
Here,
what are you going for?
But
it
actually, the Greek word means to do it again, to
oh,
do
wow,
something
cool.
again. So when you hear a testimony, you have like permission to say, do to me, Lord.
Yeah, this is
do it again.
This isn't about admiration. This is about saying, I want that for me, God. And if you can accomplish this in one man, you can accomplish this in another man, right? Like, let's get it done.
Yeah. And I wonder if Father Jacques Philippe's testimony had anything to do with his life. But we'll hear about that. So we'd like to welcome on the show Father Nathan Cromley.
Hey!
Yay! Welcome to Woo! Encounter. Did you have a life-changing
hey,
encounter?
Guys, I'm so glad to be here. It's awesome.
Father, yeah. I love your voice. You've just got like the passionate, calming voice of Jesus.
Whoa.
Have you ever calmed
That's
a storm?
The first time anyone's ever told me that. I appreciate it.
Have you ever calmed a storm? Next time you're at a big storm, Father, you
just
should
say,
try to calm
peace.
It. Peace. Be still.
Peace.
Yes.
I'm taking him to Cedar Point, Dan. Father.
I was on a windstorm one time way up in northern Minnesota with a group of young adults on Lake Kapitagamena. And the waves were coming in so fast and hard that they were about to sink our canoe. And, of course, I'm in the canoe with these two young ladies, one of whom is really tall, and she's sitting right in the center of the canoe. And so she doesn't really know what's going on. And, of course, she's the first one to go over. The one in the front can't swim. And so you have a non-swimmer with a life jacket on, of course, and then this really tall girl who tips the whole canoe over. And the three of us are in the waves. My sandals end up sinking to the bottom of Lake Kapitagamena. I lose my Bible. And it all ends well, but I tried to calm that storm, and it didn't do so well, so I better not try again.
He's still working on it.
Be persistent.
He's still working on it, listeners, all right? And I'm going to work on it too, Dan, all right?
Amen to that.
So, Father, we're so excited to have you on the show. Can you share with us just your faith story and just give our listeners a snapshot of what your life was like growing up? How did you become a priest? How did you get to where you are right now?
Well, I love doing my testimony because I'm kind of the testimony for those who aren't worthy of a testimony.
Nice.
Meaning a lot of people think that you have to do something really extraordinary in order to be called by the Lord, or the Lord will have to call you in a really extraordinary way. And my calling came through the still quiet of normalcy. That is, my family was a great family and raised me in the faith by taking me to church. We went to Catholic schools, just like tens of thousands of young people in the state of Ohio. We fasted during Lent. We didn't do anything really that extraordinary. We were just a simple Catholic family that was going to Sunday Mass like everybody else. But what my family gave me was a deep sense of character and a deep sense of truth. And when you speak about God, you're speaking about someone who makes a difference in your life, and it matters what God says. So it only stood to reason that when I was in fourth grade and I went for the very first time to the Chrism Mass on Holy Tuesday at the cathedral, all the grade school children were called to go. I remember watching all the priests process past me, the first time in my life where I'd really seen a manifestation of pride in the priesthood, was watching these 200 men file past me two by two. And I remember that they were singing Lift High the Cross, a hymn that I'd never heard before. Again, most of the time in our parishes, we play these very wane, kind of weak hymns about somehow overcoming fear. And I'm like, I've been singing this for 20 years. I wish I would have overcome the fear by now. But on the contrary, this was a real Catholic hymn that wasn't about overcoming fear, but about Jesus Christ and the Christian faith. So I was listening to that hymn, and I've seen these priests walk past me, and I remember feeling for the very first time a stirring in my heart, I want to be a priest, and speaking to Our Lady about that and asking her to make me a priest one day.
Wow.
I was in fourth grade.
That's amazing. No, keep going, Father.
It's just to underscore for all the parents who are listening and all the young people who are listening, all the grandparents who are listening, vocations are not lightning bolt events most of the time. Most of the time, they're an upgrowth of all the years of fertilization, of cultivation of the soil, where you put in birthday parties and roller skating parties and true friendships and experiences like Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
Thanks for the shout out, Father.
Great Catholic adventures. This is what ends up letting someone take that step towards God.
That's such a good word. I feel like there's encouragement going out there for all of our mother and father listeners out there. Thank you for that encouragement, Father. So,
Father, what was like the one thing that really sticks out to you about your dad or your mom? Like, is there a way they formed you that just pierced your heart growing up?
That's a great question. No one's ever asked me that question in the history of my life.
Yeah, Dan.
I would say that what's wonderful about the way my parents raised me is that they raised me to be a person of integrity. That is, you keep your word. You don't quit or back down on things. And that's it's a very natural kind of common sense thing. And that's because grace builds upon nature. The parent's role is, of course, to intercede for God's grace. But parents can't give God's grace. They can intercede for it. They can mediate it to a degree that they can. But it comes from God. What parents can do, and what God kind of usually refuses to do, is give the person their nature. Give that young person who they are at a natural human level. Integrity, honesty, hard work, politeness, willingness to share, consideration of others, these type of human virtues.
A
lot of times parents neglect those, thinking that somehow God is just going to come out of nowhere and save their child. And sometimes also I think parents, they think that if they just do those things, they're not doing enough, that they should be doing all these extra spiritual things to boot. Then I would say start with what is natural. Give that humanity to your kids. God will electrify that and will add to it by his grace. But if they're missing that foundation, a lot of times grace is not, God just doesn't choose to operate that way, just to come in and supplant. Sometimes he does, but it's a rare thing. Most of the time, we end up limiting what the young people can do and what, because we just haven't given them enough self-esteem and enough of that natural boost that they need.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
So good.
Thank you.
That's so good. It's like the, your parents build that scaffolding for them to be raised up so they can with their life, just paint this beautiful mural of the kingdom.
Isn't that that's a beautiful vision.
Whoa. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Father. I think that was the word of wisdom. I'm not going to take credit for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're actually coming up to a break right now, Father. So, listeners, we're going to take a break now and go to some commercials. But on the flip side, we're going to be joined back with Father Nathan, who's going to continue to share with us. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're joined here with Father Nathan Cromley, who is living an extraordinary mission of evangelization. And Father, we want to hear your vision for evangelization for the country and for the world. But before we dive into that, what activated you as a priest, right? Like, you're a passionate, on-fire priest, but I'm sure we've all throughout our lives met priests who are not as activated or more passive in their evangelization of others. And so what was it that just set that fire on your heart and really like motivated you to bring the kingdom of God?
Well, believe it or not, I think it fits right in with the theme of your show, because it was a group of ordinary people who normally would never consider themselves to be kind of activators of priestly vocations, but they in fact did just that. There was a group of people that saw that while I was in high school, I was going to daily mass at the Monastery of the Visitation. Sisters who are, by the way, very faithful and incredibly beautiful monastic lives for girls who might be looking for a vocation up in Toledo, Ohio. And I was going to daily mass up there, and this group of men noticed me, of course, and they decided that they would invest in me. And I got a phone call out of the blue saying, "We've decided that you've won a competition to go to World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado." This was 1993. And I said, "I haven't entered a competition. How could I win it?" And they said, "Don't worry. We're making the competition for you. You can write your essay when you get back. Just take our gift and go to World Youth Day."
Wow. Go nuns. Thank
you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so this group of guys, in other words, they gave a little bit of a sacrifice to sponsor this young person.
Yeah.
And what happened to me at World Youth Day changed my life. I met Pope John Paul II's spirit. I didn't meet him one-on-one, but I met him at the same time through his preaching and his presence. And there was just such a light given to him by him about how to dialogue and link the old and the new, the traditional and the modern, the pre-Vatican and the post-Vatican II churches. It was like he just kind of summarized the pathway forward for me. And I've been following in his footsteps ever since.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, earlier in the show, we were talking about that balance between humility and magnanimity, like this balance between just great humbleness, but also greatness. And I think John Paul II had that, right? And because of his greatness and because of his humility, you just encountered the presence of God, which is so true. Like, how many people have encountered the power and the presence of God because of John Paul II.
I have.
Yeah.
Same story.
He transformed my life, right? It's just incredible that his witness.
Yeah. Keep going, Father.
About 3 years ago, I was able to take Eagle Eye Ministries, our associates, our benefactors, and those who help us on a pilgrimage to Pope John Paul II's hometown of Krakow. And through special permission, I was actually able to go into St. Leonard's Crypt of the Wawel Cathedral, where he was ordained a priest, and celebrate Mass on the altar where he celebrated his very first Mass.
Wow, that's awesome.
An absolutely extraordinary place. And what's so beautiful about his story is that it's very similar to my own in the sense that he was confronting a culture that was collapsing all around him. He had friends that chose to pick up arms and fight against it with violence. He had other friends that went to the concentration camps as victims. And he thought to himself, what's the greatest thing that I could do to save my country and to save my church? And his answer came, the holy priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I stood there at his altar, I realized the profound nature of what happened. He leaned over that stone and he said, "This is my body given up for you, and he became the sacrifice of Christ. Not just Christ saved the world, and John Paul II, united with Christ, brought that salvation to his Polish culture. It's not arms, it's not websites, it's not programs, it's not camps that are going to save the church. It's Amen. The fact that you and I lay ourselves in union with Christ down upon the altar as a sacrifice of adoration to God. That's what saves the church. And that's why the priesthood is the greatest response that a man can give to when he wants to do something great in this world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. That's beautiful.
Now, Father, share with us your vision of the new evangelization incarnate in your ministry.
Well, you know, this is what's so, I love talking about this because I want to start by saying, so many people are so pessimistic about our church. Our numbers are going down, you know, our priests are going down, the churches are closing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you know what? The only problem with this whole scenario, it's not the church, it's you. Because when Jesus had to face the entire world, he'd put 12 arrows in his quiver, 12 apostles, and then he just simply fired them to the ends of the earth, and the recipe has won.
Amen.
Because it's not a question of whether or not we have enough offense to defeat the defense. The defense is already defeated.
Yep.
The world is a shallow place, and our culture cannot give to our young people what we have to give them. And so all we need to do is energize ourselves with enough of a spirit of fatherhood and motherhood to lay down our lives for these young people by giving them those treasures of the church and giving them the treasures of an authentic Catholic culture, and evangelization takes over from there.
Mm, amen.
So my vision for evangelization is really simple. You and I choose to become fathers and mothers and pass on our heritage of faith with conviction and authenticity. Once you do that, young people, that's all they're waiting for. You are people who smile at them and who tell them the truth as if they themselves cared about it.
Yes. Mm. Amen. Amen. I think
so
the difference between leading like a father and leading like a son is that a father always wants his children to surpass them, right? And I think a lot of times in the faith, we get in these positions where we always want to be in the spotlight, and we're not trying to bring people to the point where they're surpassing us and they're accomplishing greater works than we are. And just that leading them and leading them and leading them and helping them become missionaries themselves, where it's not just like, hey, I'm going to be awesome and I'm going to feed you a bunch of good stuff, but I want you to go out and feed the world.
Exactly. And this is where our church workers need to rediscover that sense, because we have all the structure in the world, in our parishes, our dioceses. We've got people there. Why aren't they igniting a fire? I remember one time listening to a very successful youth minister, and he'd taken a very small country parish way out in the fields of Ohio, and he made it into something that went from 17 kids in the youth group to over 200.
Wow.
And active. They would come for a typical youth night at this small country parish, be 200 teenagers. And I asked him what his secret was, and he said it all began the day when he sat around and asked himself, why is it that every youth group seems to get to 30 kids and then maxes out? And then he thought to himself, well, it's because in one night, 30 is about the number that I can interact with successfully. So I looked around, and I saw around the room that my parents' chaperones, who were standing along the walls talking. And I started to just say to them, okay, each one of you, you all have a mission. And it's to learn the name and one interesting thing about one person in this room each night. And as he multiplied the number of people who were interested in the young people, loving them personally and authentically, he multiplied the number of young people that came. It's almost like we, by creating a culture of welcome and of desire and of real, genuine human interest, we created something that the young people were craving for.
Amen.
And he went
that.
From 17 to over 200. And I think that, for me, was a huge light of what we need to do as a church. Young people will respond to love.
Mm-hmm.
Let us love them with our hearts.
Amen. I agree
so
wholeheartedly
good.
With that. That's brilliant.
So good. Yeah, so Father, tell us about some of the apostolates that you've done. We know Eagle Eye Ministries, there's a business school. Where do you want to start, Father?
You know, I think I would just love to share a story of victory with you guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our church is so victorious. I'll tell you a neat story about a young man who came. I was leading a young adult trip to Iceland. So we were actually backpacking in the hinterlands of Iceland. We were 5.5 hours north of Reykjavik on a dirt road where actually there was no road. We took the road pavement until it turned to dirt, and then we took the dirt until it was just the wilds. And we just were driving on this bus across the wilds. And we stopped off at a point. The bus driver dropped us off. It felt like we were a helicopter soldiers in Vietnam jumping off the sea. The winds were blowing. There was rain in the wind. And the guy's yelling at the top of his voice, "I'll meet you back here, you know, on Saturday."
Wow.
Dumps our bags out and then peels away. And then we're standing there. And there was a young person who was on this hike with us who was a fallen away evangelical. So he was actually flirting with atheism. His, you know, mom had kind of forced him to come along. And our trips at Eagle Eye Ministries are very Catholic, but every once in a while you can bring someone else along who's maybe, you know, wandering a bit in their faith. And this young man was amazing because every day at Eagle Eye, even when we're doing these backpacking trips, we do adoration, mass, the offices, the rosary, and a talk every day. And so this guy was brave enough to go through all of that. And on our last day, it was raining as the Feast of the Annunciation, or of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. And I'll never forget it because it was cold and wet. The water was kind of trickling around our knees as we knelt there on the ground. And we were doing our holy hour, you know, kind of like under a tent structure, of course, to protect the Blessed Sacrament. And this young person was there next to me, kneeling in the water, praying his rosary. And I didn't say much to him throughout the whole trip because I just wanted to respect who he was. But at the end of it, we were all sharing, and this guy comes forward and says, "I want you guys to know that I've decided to become a Catholic."
Wow. Fallen away evangelical.
When I asked him why, he didn't say, "Because of your preaching." He didn't say, he just said, "I've never met people like you before."
Wow.
And I thought that was so neat because that's indicative of the culture that we have at Eagle Eye Ministries, the culture we find in other great, successful young adult ministries throughout the country, like Catholic Young, our youth summer camps. But at Eagle Eye, what we try to do is bring the life of the church authentically present to young people. And when we do that, lives change.
Wow.
So I started this back in 2003, very simply to serve the hearts of Catholics who wanted to go deeper. I couldn't believe that we do such a good job at getting them all to come to the Steubenville Teen Conference every year, and then we just kind of let them go. Where are they supposed to go after that initial talk or that initial contact? And so what I wanted to do was teach them that the faith never stops growing deeper and to get them to love the depths. So at Eagle Eye, we challenge them. They have 4 hours of prayer a day, 4 hours of class a day, a culture with a campfire, a two-day hike, and friendship throughout the day. And that spirit of challenge has been taken up by 7,000 of them now.
Wow.
And we have, you know, around 50 vocations to the priesthood that have come out and religious life that have come out of this camp. We've got marriages that have been founded, youth ministers that have been launched. And it's really beautiful. All we've done is just make our family heritage of the church present to them. God does the rest.
Wow. So that's amazing. So young adults can come and sign up for this. Where do they learn about these trips, Father? Where can you get information?
EagleEyeMinistries.org. That's EagleEyeMinistries.org. is the place. We actually have a pilgrimage that we're advertising right now for adults, anyone over 22 all the way up to 70, to Hawaii. We're going to go and say Mass at the altar and in the church that St. Damien de Voysters built with his own hands as he worked with the lepers on Molokai.
Wow.
And so I'm going to lead a retreat there. That's May 13th through the 20th.
Wow.
And that's also on EagleEyeMinistries.org, the website.
That's absolutely amazing.
Heck yeah, that's sweet. Father, the...
As time went on, we started a business institute because I kept meeting these young adults who are so on fire and don't know where to go further. So I said, why don't you live a life as an evangelizer? And so what we do at the St. John Institute in Denver, Colorado, We offer a fully accredited MBA that comes from online classes given by Walsh University in North Canton, Ohio. And our students live in a monastic community environment of prayer, fellowship, joy, peer groups, etc., while taking their MBA classes so that they graduate like missionaries who are also equipped with the business skills that the church needs so that they can make an effective difference in the world. And we're also recruiting our class right now, so if anyone's listening would be interested, you can sign up at saintjohninstitute.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, johninstitute.org.
Wow. Okay, so people get the classes from this Walsh University on the business side, and then you do kind of the spiritual formation side?
Exactly.
Plus, that's awesome.
We do theology, philosophy classes, and spirituality.
How do you teach them, yep. Father? What is your strategy in teaching them how to be evangelists?
We've got to teach them, first of all, to not be afraid of the world. That's the number one thing. We as good Catholics, especially with good Orthodox, we want to follow the teachings of the church, etc. We have a terrible tendency of becoming insular.
Yep.
So our goal, in other words, is just to pass on the faith in formulas that only we can understand. And this is not going to work.
Yep.
Pope John Paul II said the new evangelization requires a new language, new forms of expression. And so I'm trying to follow in his footsteps to say, okay, there's a role for those whose job it is to keep the fort clean and keep it strong. But that's not the role of the evangelizer. That's the role of different people in the body of Christ. The evangelizer needs to say, I'm going to learn the language that the new people are speaking, and I'm going to translate my faith into that new language. So everything that we do at the St. John Institute is there to form that kind of cutting edge, the point of the spear, so to speak, of the church's efforts. We want young people that aren't afraid of a world that's actually waiting for what they want to bring.
Wow. Amen to that. Yeah, I love
this. This is revolutionary.
There's something so beautiful about just like forming people to form the world, right? Like we're not raising up people simply to serve on our parish committees and to teach our religious ed classes. Like that's critical, but really we're forming people to form the world. Like how do you go into the world and literally act as a leaven and transform the world from within? So what do you see from your, I know the school's kind of new. Have you seen any fruit from that? Like, have you had any graduates yet that are out like in the business world actually like serving as a leaven?
Our first class is just finishing its first year this year of a 2-year program.
Okay.
So we don't have any graduates
no alumni
yet, but.
That's awesome. Praise the Lord. I love it. Thank you, Father, for sharing that. So can we take a step back real quick on Eagle Eye? There's clearly a connection with nature with what you're doing, and you really haven't explained why. Like, why do you do the trips out in the middle of nowhere versus just hanging out
at a retreat center?
Yeah,
you guys are great. I love this. This is a great interview.
Yeah,
the reason why I do nature is very simple. When John Paul II was in front of the Nazis and then the communists that were destroying his culture, he realized that they were only effective because they were proposing a material response, a material definition to the human person, and that that had a power because it presented the answer to immediate needs, but it had a huge weakness in that man was not made for the material. So he took them out into nature so that they could rediscover the force of the spirit. When you strip down the materiality, and you're sweating and you're hurting, but you have friendship and a fire, you open up a whole different dimension of your person, the heart, that heart that says, I'm going to climb to the top of that mountain no matter how hard it is. And when you stand on top of that mountain and you utter your yawp from the rooftops of the world, there's something awakens in you that no materiality could ever strangle away. And so I'm looking at our culture and I'm saying, we got the exact same thing happening. Our young people are surfeited with internet, cell phones, clothes, makeup, music in their ears constantly. And that seems like a big bad monster, but actually it's a very weak enemy because all of it's focused on one thing, materialism, and passions. And I'm like, there's something much deeper and more rewarding in the human person. And that's that human spirit, the human heart. So I take people out into the wilderness on purpose so that they rediscover a soul that's so big that no materialistic response could ever strangle it down. I want my young people to come in out of the woods and just laugh in the face of their iPod.
Yeah, Father, you have a great awakening for people. You're awakening up who they are. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to have another session with Father. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back on the flip side, we're going to be joined with Father Nathan Cromley once again. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. We have on the show with us again Father Nathan Cromley, and Father shared about his testimony of being raised in the good Catholic home, being called by Christ to the priesthood, going to World Youth Day, and being like activated to do this awesome work of the new evangelization, inspired by Pope John Paul II, taking students on trips, or young adults on trips, awakening in them the Spirit of God living in them that's been suppressed by the materialism around them. And Father, I just wanted to see, in our last segment, if you could share with us stories of individuals that have been transformed and you know how they've been awakened, what that looked like, and what kind of fruit they're bearing in their life today.
I would love to, because we need to look at these beacons of hope more than we do. I think I really want to enkindle hope in the hearts of everyone who's listening today. I'll go ahead and share just one cool story about a young woman that was looking for, of course, her spouse. She was single, hoping really to find the right person for her, and she was volunteering as one of my staff members at Ecclesia, the one-month-long formation program we do in Bismarck, North Dakota. And this was like her third year of volunteering. And she was having a bit of a rough time saying, oh, I just can't find the right guy. I keep looking and he's not there, et cetera. And so at the same program, there was a young man who was talking to me about how, boy, you know, he didn't know the direction that he could take his life or whatever. And of course, as a priest, you can't intervene with what you know from one to the next. So
yeah.
I was just watching these two and thinking this would be a great couple. And as they gaze in the program, they found that what they were really looking for in a spouse was someone who would be willing to serve with them in the needs of evangelization. And sure enough, boy meets girl during the course of this. They're married now, and they're finishing their second year as focused missionaries, as a married couple, ready to welcome their second child into the world.
Wow. Praise the Lord. It's so good. Wow. So,
on the other hand, I can think of another chaperone, kind of a shy kind of young man who was chaperoning my teens in our teen Eagle Eye Summer Institute in Princeville, Illinois. And he was, you know, learning and kind of excited, but he's also just kind of a shy guy. But as he gave to those teens, he felt in within him more and more the grace of fatherhood. And he learned what spiritual fatherhood could be all about. And, well, you guessed it, he entered seminary, was ordained a Catholic priest about 4 years ago.
Amen.
And so now he's proudly serving his diocese.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Father, for our listeners who are joining in today, and they, what would you say to them if they have admiration for what God's accomplishing in your life? What would you say to them to convince them that God wants to accomplish great things in their lives?
I am just a pencil in God's hand. I'm not even a pen, like your two great hosts, who have much more talent and skill than I. I would say, if you look and tell God about all of your weaknesses, you are not listening to his voice.
Oh,
God,
yes.
Wow. St. Paul, God called St. Peter, and both of them protested. And you know what God told St. Paul? He said, why do you kick against the goad? Which is, a goad is like the thing that's pricking you to push you forward. Why kick against it?
Yep.
And I love that, because I think, stop making excuses. You need to fall more in love with Jesus than you are with your comfort.
Whoa.
And don't tell Jesus what he can't do. Start telling Jesus that you love him and let him do with you what he wants.
Amen. Let's just
that's a good word.
Can we just rewind that and play it over and over and over again? Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for those words. Yeah, I think the Lord just wants to speak his truth into your life. And so just crowd out all of those lies. And in the name of Jesus, we just, any lies that our listeners have in their minds, we cast those out. And Good Shepherd, we pray that your voice would become so clear that our listeners would hear you, hear your call for their life, hear how beautiful they truly are and how beautifully crafted they have been in your hands. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, are there any kind of consistent, what are the big struggles that young adults are facing, and how do you kind of help, what are some kind of general counsel you would give someone like a young adult listening on this program about, you know, what they're supposed to do with their life and things like that?
Sure. You know, I love working with you young adults because you are the future of the church and you are greatness. You're God's gift to our world and to our church. And the number one thing I think that would, it's so amazing, the spiritual problems that young adults face today are remedied by a very simple, natural answer, community. It's so amazing. If you, a brother with his brother is a fortified citadel. That's what it says in the book of Proverbs. Ooh, a brother with his brother is a fortified citadel. A sister with her sister is a fortified citadel. If you're feeling weak in your faith life, if you don't know where to go, I suggest a very simple remedy. I call it Panera Tuesdays. Tuesdays at Panera means every Tuesday you make a lunch date with your girlfriend, with, you know, whoever it is that you want to commune with. You can chat while you're in line making your order. But once you've ordered, you sit down at the table, and there you attack Sunday's readings together. If you can form bonds of fellowship with another young adult, even just one, it's amazing how much your soul will soar. And it's like the water that wets the ground to prepare for the seed to be implanted in it.
Amen. Yeah.
That's so good. The power of community. I mean, Dan, that you're starting to see that kind of flow up in your missionary program. What can you say about that?
Yeah. You know, Father, just like similar to the St. John Institute, we formed a missionary program last year, and we had four people say, okay, we're all in. We're going to just serve as full-time missionaries with our ministry. And then that was so captivating, and their lives have been so radically transformed that they're just sharing that with others, and it's like multiplying. So now this year we've had like 15 young people apply for full-time mission work, and it's just the power that once people experience community together and then they're given the the outlet to invite others into it, it's like young people are like, yes, like and their fears of fundraising or their fears of taking a year off to serve the Lord, like it's like those fears are so easily trumped by their inner desire for deeper communal living, and iron sharpens iron. And so we've just seen, I've seen the good and the bad over these young adults, just that their flaws are literally being fine-tuned and worked out by each other, right? Like at the beginning of the year, I saw a lot of the different flaws that they came with, and now it's like only 7 months later, I was just reflecting with my partner Aaron in that, and we're like, wow, these guys have grown so much, and we've done so little for that growth. It's they've done it for each other, just fine-tuning each other, learning off of each other. We had a phrase when I served as a missionary, I served with Net Ministries, we had a phrase that us guys always had with one another. We said, beat each other to the cross, right? So if every one of us are running towards the cross of Christ and we want to lay our lives down first, if we're all striving to be the first servant among servants, what happens is you're in a sprint as opposed to this nonchalant walk towards the Lord.
It's so
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Yeah, that's exciting. I don't know why, but I had this vision earlier in the, well, just a story earlier in the show that I want to share, and I think it really connects with, so I have a 6-year-old son, and when he turned 5, I wanted to teach him how to build a fire, right? And so I started teaching him about how to build the log cabin, and then how to build a teepee around the log cabin, and how to get, you know, your kindling, and all the different kinds of wood, and to layer them,
And the first few times he would build the fire, he would get frustrated because his teepee kept falling. And so I just kept teaching him how to get the teepee to stay. And now the other day, it was a nice day, and he wanted to have a fire that night. So I said, okay, you go build the fire and then wait for me, and I'll come out and light it afterwards. And so I'm doing the dishes, and afterwards I go outside, and he has built this incredible fire. Like, the log cabin is perfectly formed, and the teepee is nice and highly erected. And so I light the fire, and immediately it just takes off. And we've got this incredible bonfire. Big, and I was, like, very humbled because my six-year-old son actually built a far better fire than I could. And I kept wow. looking at my wife, and I was like, Giovanni made a better fire than me. And I just think it speaks to this fatherhood mentality that you have been referencing, Father Nathan, of just this the power that young people, and I would say even children, they have a hunger to learn and to grow. And when we teach them, and when we get on their level, and we spend time with them, and we work through their struggles, they're going to accomplish so much more than us. And just that image of fire, right? That God has his children here in this world, and he wants us to father them with him so that they can set a massive fire ablaze. And ultimately, they're going to do a far better job than Patrick and I have done. They're going to do a far better job than you have done. I'm just so excited to, as we raise up the next generation, to see the tremendous fire that they birth in this world and the fire of the Spirit that just is given over.
That's so good. Father, we're about to come to a close in the show. Will you just pray for all of our listeners that God would just, do something awesome through them, that God would just start to come alive, and that he would activate the Spirit inside of them that's capable of changing the world?
Sure. Awesome. Let us pray. Dear God, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit down upon all those who are listening today and kindle in them a fire of your love. May they dare great things, lift their eyes up to you, inspire in them the audacity of hope and the courage of perseverance, and give them your own desire for the salvation of the world around them. And through the intercession of Pope St. John Paul II and Our Lady Star of the New Evangelization, Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti descendat super vos et maniat semper. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Father, once again, what's the best way for our listeners to get in contact with you or learn more about your ministries?
Oh, I would just be overjoyed. Have them go to my website, stjohninstitute.org. S-A-I-N-T, johninstitute.org. That's especially for students who might, or people who know people looking for their MBA. We are recruiting right now for our next year's class. So starting this fall, it's not too late to apply. Also for donations, there's a way to donate right there online. Or you can go to Eagle Eye Ministries. That's E-A-G-L-E-E-Y-E ministries.org. And same thing applies. You can fill in for our Hawaii pilgrimage, or our Colorado backpacking trip, or our Aspen mountain climbing trip, or any of the other camps, especially the Cary, Ohio Teen Summer Institute. All that's at eagleeyeministries.org.
So good. Awesome. Well, we'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us on Encounter Radio. On behalf of Dan and I, we pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every encounter that God gives you today. For more information about us or our show, go to encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Father Nathan, thank you so much for joining us on the show. God bless you so much, everybody.